Right, good morning, everybody. First, I'd like to just read a message I got yesterday, and it will kind of, I guess, set the tone for things I'd like to share today. I shared with everyone a little while ago about a situation in Ukraine before the war. It was building up. It hadn't happened yet. And it was about a lady we'd been helping, got a chance to know through the years. A young mom had a severely disabled son. You know, even up until 5, 6 years old, he couldn't walk, couldn't talk. So we got involved and started helping a little bit to help pay for some therapy and some basic needs for the young mom through Anya, our contact. And I shared some of those things, and then she had been going through a tough time, was very despondent. So we did get her a tablet, and we were going to connect on the Zoom because we wanted to encourage her. Okay, well, then this war broke out. That just complicated things. So Yulia went to the village to be with her parents. It's only like got 18 houses in the village, so I was thinking, well, she might be safer there because it's not exactly the path the Russians are going to be on, a little village like that. Because the city of Kremenchuk, where they're from and where Anya's from, right up until, well, yesterday, hadn't been hit yet. And, you know, really was kind of hoping that Kremenchuk would survive so that when Anya and her family went home, at least their house wouldn't be all blown up or burned up or something. Anyway, so Oleg sends me a message yesterday. He got from Yulia. She wanted him to translate it and send it to me. So I'll just read it. It's real short. So this is from Yulia with the disabled boy. Well, Oleg says, good morning, Steve. Got a message from Yulia in Ukraine. She wants me to translate it for you. Okay, here's what she said. I apologize for not connecting with you in the Zoom. We often have air raid warning, and we hide. Ivan, at the backdrop of this constant stress, stopped talking altogether. Well, he really couldn't talk like the communicate talk, but he was learning words. He was learning words, and now she said he stopped completely. He did used to say some words. Now, I'm reading it as way Oleg translated, so it's not me not knowing how to read, okay? I'm leaving it raw here. Okay, self-aggression, she said, has set in. He hits himself in the head. The aggression is toward everyone and everything that surrounds him. He's having a very difficult time. He doesn't understand what's being said to him because it's impossible to explain to him anything. 3 weeks, Ivan was sick with bronchitis. The sickness was prolonged because we had no medicine. Praise God, he's not sick now. Today, Kremenchuk was attacked by rockets from aircraft. Electricity and gas are on and off. I want to ask you very much to pray for Ivan. I fear that seizures may return, and there's no medicine to stop them. Boundless thank you that you are with us. We are in a village not far from Kremenchuk. Helicopters and jets fly right over the house. We hide in the basement. You know, you feel these burdens that people are just, being crushed under. And you've been there. I've been there. We've all been there. It's, this is really a global human thing, suffering, difficulties, challenges. And sometimes just sharing sometimes what other people are going through, it's incredible. Now, obviously, Ivan, even though he can't understand the spoken word maybe or such things as that, but I'll guarantee you what, the young boy can perceive his surroundings. And he knows when everyone else is feeling tension. I know Michael, he can tell too. You know, if there's something going on, he senses it. And then he gets all this sad look on his face. He thinks I'm talking about him. He said, Gramps, what are you doing? Very perceptive. Well, Ivan can't process. And now she said this self-aggression where he's hitting himself in the head. I mean, he's still like only 8 now, I think. I mean, he's still a young boy. So the last time I was up here, I said, well, we have to make prioritize. First things first. We've shared many times that Jesus is the one that told us our world was dark and had wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and pandemics. It's messed up. That's the world we live in. Now, what I want to share, what I want to work through a little bit, we have things that are external to us that we have no say over, that affect us, the economy, the pandemic, the wars, the earthquake. You can't stop that. It will affect you, though. It will affect you. But then there's the internal things that affect us, that we do have control over. This is what the gospel is all about, good news. That we can deal with the internals, and guess what? If we get our priorities straight, Jesus said, seek ye first, priority number one, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now he's talking about, when he talks about in God's righteousness, he's introducing the idea of coming first into the kingdom. You must be born again to enter the kingdom, born of water and spirit, to enter the kingdom. And then as you begin to grow like a babe, with milk of the word, the meat of the word, you're going to begin to transform by the renewing of the mind. You put off concerning your former conduct, your old man, renewed in the spirit of the mind, according to Ephesians 4, that you what? Put on a new man created by God according to righteousness and true righteousness and holiness. That's the righteousness we need to seek. Seek first this kingdom of God, this opportunity to be born again, to be considered no longer in the flesh. Paul said, you ain't in the flesh, Christians, Romans 8, verses 8 and 9. Those in the flesh, he said, can't please God, right? But he said, you, Christian, you ain't in the flesh, you in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, he said he ain't his. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things, what am I going to eat, what am I going to drink, what am I going to put on, will be added. Many times, though, humans, and even people in the church, get that exactly backwards. They're going around trying to fix this broken world, trying to figure out, what am I going to eat? What am I? Wonder if this happens. You see the gas prices lately? We're trying to handle all that. We're not dealing with our inner man. And guess what happens? We get crushed. I remember DJ did a lesson here. I don't remember exactly. I remember what the point he was making. And we're going to unpackage it before we're done here today, but I'll give you a heads up. I was going to bring me a plastic bottle of water up here instead of this thing because I wanted to illustrate. But I dare not do that with that water in there because it'll come. So I was going to bring a plastic bottle in and say, if this bottle was full, I couldn't crush it. Why? Because you can't compress what's in it, right? We'll look at some verses that talk about God strengthens us in our inner man, that we can't be crushed on the outside. You dump that stuff out of there and you go like that and you will crush it, the bottle, the plastic bottle. So, first things first then, because many times we get it backwards. The things on the externals are always in our face. They're right here, and they seem to demand our attention constantly, this noise. So we find ourselves running here, running there, trying to deal with this, deal with that, and we really don't take the time to do what we ought to do, number one, and that's be working on our inner man. Now, understand this. Yes, we are created and we are capable of being able to walk and chew bubble gum at the same time. Because really, when you get down to it, these things do have to be taking place. You know, the world don't stop because you became a Christian. It keeps operating. And all the garbage that was going on, all that noise is still there. But the thing is about the Word of God, it is powerful, alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It can pierce. And a little dab would do you. In other words, Jesus said, even faith as small as a mustard seed could move a mountain. And guess what? Just like we have to eat on a regular basis, you've been eating since probably a few minutes after you were born. A few minutes, he did. I know, I was there. You know, I heard it said, you know, for what it's worth, department, because man does not operate on instinct. Man operates on reason. You know, animals operate on instinct, and they said the only instinct that a human being has, and that's to nurse. Because there's no school for nurse, you know, when you're born, you don't, it's not like somebody taught you how to do that. You know, when the milk bottle or the breast is presented, things start happening. It just happens. But you haven't stopped, you know, eating since we were born. Guess what? When you're born again, don't stop eating, spiritually speaking. The milk of the Word, meat of the Word, don't stop. You don't have to read this whole thing by tomorrow morning. But man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know that. Well, here you go, pilgrims. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we need to do this. So, I want to deal, he said first things first, so I want to deal with the internal. The internal. Matthew 6 and 33 is where Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and others will be added. Now remember, I just read Yulia's message. I'm sure as you listen to the message and you think of a poor mom, a disabled boy in a poor village in Ukraine, and nearby Kremenchuk has just been hit with rockets. Okay, she said, you know, often we have the air raid warning and we're hiding. You know, when the helicopters and jets fly over, we're in the basement. What a terrible, frightening thing for a mom. You know, the husband, Ivan's dad, took off. I told you that after he was born and he realized the son was disabled. He basically told her, you get rid of him or I'm leaving. She said, I ain't giving up my son. And he gone. So she's on her own. Now she is with her mom and dad right now. But she's watching her young boy hitting himself. He doesn't understand. I mean, I can't imagine the pressure she's under. It breaks my heart to think about her. And, you know, the people pray to God. Well, you know, well, God, what do they want God to do? Make it go away. Make it go away. God is not going to make it go away. If he was going to make it go away, he wouldn't let it happen in the first place. The Lord is teaching us, this is what we do, you can overcome these challenges. First, you need understanding. That's why we have to share these lessons. Get the picture. Then he shows us how that we are more than conquerors. We are well able to take this land, Joshua and Caleb said. The rest of them didn't believe it, and they freaked out and wanted to go back to Egypt. How can you have people, human beings, look at a situation or circumstance with the stand there, look at the exact same thing and draw two completely opposite conclusions of what to do? Well, we need to be objective truth seekers. And we need to look at reality, objective reality, the way it presents to us, and quit trying to look at the world the way you want it to be. and look at the world the way it is and go from there. You know, Brother Jay said one time, and I like when he said, you know, if a person is a truth seeker, I mean, just a truth seeker, period, in anything, you know, used cars or price of whatever, I don't know. If you're just a truth seeker, guess what? If you are a truth seeker, it'll lead you to God. Why? He is the author of objective truth. Because remember, Satan is a liar and the father of it. And when he speaks from his own resources. I mean, he is the father of lies. So when you see this fine print, you better see flags going up and slow down. Why is it written like that? Why the fine print? Most people are suspicious of fine print. Somebody trying to pull one on you here. Okay. Seek first. Hebrews chapter 12. I said we're gonna look at Hebrews 12 on the internals and 2 Corinthians 12 on the externals. In Hebrews chapter 12, this context, you know, it sounds like the Christian's gonna go through some rough stuff here. But watch, be sure you have the right context. Hebrews chapter 12 is not external persecution coming upon the Christian. When you look at Hebrews chapter 12, this is the Christian's struggle with himself. The things he does have control over. It's his old man. Because what you're going to see is God's discipline and his correction on his children that he loves. When God is disciplining you, he doesn't do it with external persecution that you had no control over. Why would you come here, kid, give your kid a little whooping here? You see them gas prices? Why would you give your kid a whooping for the gas prices? What do you have to do with that? I know you don't like the gas prices, but it ain't his fault. Well, that's the same with God. He ain't going to discipline and correct you for stuff you didn't have no concern or responsibility over. Let's read it. Therefore, well, first off, it said we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 11, that whole context. We talked about the faith chapter. All these people that were victorious and overcoming. So it starts in chapter 12 by saying, therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, well, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Look unto Jesus. Giving you a hint here. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher or the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls, for you have not yet resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. Jesus had a sinner's problem. We got a sin problem. Not necessarily in the present tense, folks. I mean, that's the whole point. But human beings do. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. So, yes, we have been there and done that. But he's talking about how we're going to deal with that, that we can overcome that. For consider him who endured such hostility. We read that from these sinners. Then he said, for you have not resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged. Don't be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loved, he chastened and scourges every son whom he received. I looked that up. That's a Roman scourge, by the way. And if you've seen the Passion flick, good time of year to watch it with the so-called Resurrection Sunday that so many observe. We just did, by the way. I'll just point that out to you. We show the Lord's death till he come every first day of the week, not once a year. Anyway, if you've seen the Passion flick, you know what a Roman scourge looked like. Man, whoo, those I love, I do that too? Now, if you endure the chastening, God deals with you as with sons. What son is there whom the Father doesn't chasten? If you're without the chastisement of which we've all become partakers, you're illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us. We paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Indeed, they did it, chastened us what seemed best to them. But he, God, for our profit, that we might become partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful at the present, but it's painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Training. It's training. God isn't trying to kill you. He's trying to correct us. But we're thick, man. We're thick sometimes. Sometimes he has to whoop it on there. I don't know if you ever said it, or maybe somebody said to you growing up, boy, you better get your, I'll beat you within an inch of your life. Now, why do they say that? Because sometimes we need it. I didn't say nothing. What are you talking about? Therefore, strengthen them hands that's hanging down and them feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that your problem, that which is lame, may not get worse, not dislocated, but rather healed. Come on, come on, come on. Get up, get up. The hands are hanging down, the feeble. What are they dealing with in the context, their old man? This is not external. This is internal. He's not saying their hands are hanging down, their feeble knees are about ready to give out because of the pandemic or the crisis or the insanity of our world. The persecution that comes with godliness in Christ Jesus. Paul said, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus is going to suffer persecution. It comes with the territory. That ain't the hands hanging down. That ain't the feeble knees. This is the picture of sometimes how we feel struggling. Why do we think how the Lord describes what we can expect as crucifixion? In Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 24, Jesus said, I say to you that anyone desiring to come after me, verse 24, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life is going to lose it. You're willing to lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. He's talking about giving up control of your life, not running out in front of a truck. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to get out of the way. You're going to have to give up the control in order to save your life. You keep holding on to your life, he said, as you know it, you're going to end up losing it because you don't know what you're doing. It's not in man that walks, Jeremiah said, to direct his own steps. And there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs 14 and 12. We don't know what we're doing. We've already run our lives off into the ditch somewhere before. If you've come to God, you've come to Christ, you believe that he is, and or God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, diligently seek him. And then we're warned, but you got to be doers of the word now, not just hearers. Can't just hear. We got to do. And what did he say? You're going to have to deny self, take up your cross. That's funny that he would say that. The cross? The cross? These Jews knew what a Roman cross was. Now, they didn't know he was going to go up on one. He did. They're probably thinking, man, what you talking about, take up the cross? Right. Let me sign up for that. You know, we've described that in the past. You know, it's a slow way to die, developed by whether the Assyrians or the Romans. There's some debate on that. But it ain't the nails in your hands that kills you, or the nails in your feet. That don't kill a person. It's the way they're hanging on that thing. And what gives out is the intercostal muscle. They can't breathe. So they start to suffocate, and they're squirming around. But, of course, they push up. trying to get the pressure off their arms here so they can breathe, and the pain of the nails through their ankles, they can't stand it, and they're back down here again. That's why you last some hours up there, but it's a horrible way to die. Why would God choose that form of death for his own son? Gee whiz, if he just wanted him dead, whack his head off like John the Baptist. He would have bled, he would have been dead. Mission accomplished, right? No. Crucifixion. Slow. An agony. Because that's how the old man dies. He don't die quick. He don't die quick. We just read Hebrews chapter 12. Look at this picture. Hands hanging down, feeble knees. Get up, he said, get up. You haven't resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. Jesus went to a real cross. But it was for the joy set before him that he was able to pull that off. Well, we better find the joy then that is set before us so we can endure the cross. Now he said, now fix your eyes on Jesus. You keep your eyes on him and you'll see how this is done. 1 Peter 4, Peter would allude to this fact that we need to arm ourselves with the same mindset that Jesus had. I'm just turning to 1 Peter 4. Therefore, since Christ, verse 1, suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Armor up. Arm yourself with what? The same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Then he goes on to say, spend enough time in the flesh, walking around like the Gentiles, in lewdness and lust and drunkenness and revelries and drinking parties and abominable idolatries. No more. You were like it. No more. Arm yourselves. You're going to need this. Well, arming yourself with the same mind is the same faith. Because, see, faith operates out of the inner man. It's the new mindset. The faith that comes by hearing God's word. You never heard this kind of instruction before. You didn't see this at the public library. It wasn't on the back of the cereal box. It wasn't the prize inside. Like they said of Jesus when they first sent the captains to get Jesus, they came back empty-handed. The Jews said, where is he? They said, never a man spake like this man. They said, what, are you deceived too? No one ever spoke like this before. When Jesus got done with the Sermon on the Mount, you know, whosoever hear these things, mine and done be like a wise man, build his house on the rock, you know, the rain come, the wind come, the blow, or the rain come, the flood come, the wind blows, beat on the house, it doesn't fall. Why? It's founded on a rock. And those who hear my sayings and don't do them be like a foolish man. Build his house on the sand, the rain come, the flood come, the wind blow, beat on the house, fall down. Great is the fall of it. It's the guy's life. And it said the people were astonished at his teaching, because he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. He just wasn't quoting religious stuff. Man, they heard him. He was unpackaging the law of Moses in a way that they never heard before in their life. He made it real, made sense. Arm yourself with that same mindset, and we're reading information that'll do that very thing. It'll strengthen the inner man. This is where the inner man, or the challenges of our inner man. We need to, Paul would say, they that are Christ have crucified their flesh with what? The affections and the desires. Galatians 5:24. They that are Christ have done it. You can't do that on your own. You got to have power to do it. The Bible tells us that what God gives us in his Holy Spirit is a circumcision that takes place without hands. You receive the Spirit in your baptism, according to Acts 2:38, when you repent, you're immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. What? You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What's that do? What's that do? Like Matt Hartford said one time, some people think receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit is like having a little pocket change, a little something to jingle around your pockets. It's your down payment, your little deposit, you know, kind of a guarantee of what's ahead. You read that very carefully. It's a guarantee, all right, because it's through the power of the Holy Spirit you can put off concerning your former conduct, your old man. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in Romans 8:13. If you live according to the flesh, he said, you're going to die. Who's he talking to? The Christians. Romans 8:13 is written to the church. You live according to your flesh, you're going to die. But if you, through the Spirit, put to death the deeds of your body, you'll live. But what's the deeds of your body? Your old man. Gee whiz, if you're in Galatians 5, you can read it. Verse 16 or 8:19, the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. You get it, drunkenness. Been there and done that, right? Well, what did he say? I didn't read it, but it's right there, still in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Well, then I say, Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of your flesh. What did he say? If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of your flesh. Well, wonder if you're noticing you're still fulfilling the desires of your flesh. It's probably because you're not walking in the Spirit. Or you don't even have the Spirit. There's a whole lot of people profess to be Christian, have never crossed that bridge yet. They don't even realize they don't even have a Holy Spirit because they're not even sure how you get it. But if you do have the Holy Spirit, like these are real Christians in here. In the New Testament, all the flavors we have today didn't even exist. You know, there's, you know, all kinds of ways to be saved and all that. No, there's not. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one immersion, one God, one Father of all, who's in all and through all and in you all. 1-1-1-1-1. These people had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have the results. Read about those 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He told the Christians in Corinth, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, like babes, he said. I fed you with milk, not with meat, because you couldn't bear it. Still can't. You got this envy, strife, and divisions. You're walking around like mere men, he says. What does he mean, mere men? Unregenerated. You can't overcome your flesh by yourself. Got to have Spirit. Well, if you have the Spirit, but you still can't overcome, what are you lacking? Faith. Because the Holy Spirit works through the faith. And they that are Christ, they did it. They have what? Crucified their flesh. With what? The passions and the desires. You can't boast like you did something. That's what God does. But the process of crucifixion, I don't know of any painless way to teach crucifixion. Now, Paul says it takes place in the immersion, but that's a prophetic perfect. Paul said, don't you know when you're buried with Christ in the baptism? Well, first he starts out, what shall we say? Shall we continue in this sin that grace may abound? Most people think, well, yeah, I guess, right? We're sinners, right? You know, saved by grace, you know, through faith. It's not works, not works. It's not my performance. Ephesians 2, right? First off, that works of Ephesians 2 is works of the law. That's not your performance. Because you keep reading right there in Ephesians chapter 2, we are created by God unto good works in Jesus Christ. Yes, your faith is to be demonstrated by good works. So what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, let Paul answer it. No! God forbid! Certainly not. I'm just adding a few of the versions together. Old King James used to say, God forbid. We don't generally say that like that anymore. How about certainly not? Well, I can relate to certainly not. How shall we, Paul said, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Don't you know, as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, therefore we're buried with him through the immersion into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's not the old life warmed over. Radical. It's a new life. What does he say? For if, it's a condition, if you've been united together in the likeness of his death, well, certainly going to be in the likeness of the resurrection, knowing this, our old man was crucified. Crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because he who has died has been free from it. Do you realize these people are learning really probably for the first time a real depth of, don't you know what happened to you when you were born again, when you was immersed? This ain't for some baby, okay? Babies don't have no idea what. This idea of even baptizing babies is not even in the Bible, okay? Come on. First off, the baby can't believe. The baby can't confess. The baby can't repent. And the baby didn't ask to be first baptized in the first place. Kicking and screaming. Well, maybe some of you were like that going, but I. This is for penitent adults. Oh, people old enough to understand what's going on. But he has to tell them, do you realize what happened to you in your immersion? No, they don't. So you have to be taught. Not fully. But here's the deal. Our faith has got to catch up to our spiritual reality. That's what he's trying to encourage them to do. That's why that's a prophetic perfect when he said that the old man was crucified. I got a cross reference. Maybe you have one too. It says rendered inoperative because that's what God does. You just don't realize it. Your faith has got to catch up to what the Holy Spirit-inspired scriptures are saying. I started out by saying first things first, the biggest battle that all of us are going to fight is going to be the one right in here. We get distracted with a lot of help from Satan to start chasing these squirrels. What does he call them? What's the book he wrote? What was it called? Rabbit Shooters. Jay's book, Rabbit Shooters. People get caught up in all this noise and all the stuff that's going on, and they're not dealing with the real issue. I hope you understand when I read this thing about Yulia, I really feel for this lady. I know her. I've spent time with her. She is a young mom, but she's no different than anyone else. And when I read about where she's at in her present distress, I also know she does not have any idea in some of the things I've already shared this morning. She would have no idea of an inner man. She would have no idea of the power of a new birth. She would have no idea, because I'll guarantee you what, because I'm not going to get a chance to finish this today, so next time when I'm up here, I'm going to give you the other side of the coin, and that's the externals. The only way you're really going to deal with these kind of pressures from this world is you have to be strong in the inner man. That's how it will be done. Let me just maybe give you a couple to close on here, because I don't want to not finish, so I'll continue. But I'm going to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I kind of quoted, I think I did, maybe out of 2 Corinthians 5. I'll just give you that again. Remember what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17? Anyone, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, when he says all, you got to think about what he's saying. He's not talking about in the physical realm. I mean, I know when Sue and I got baptized, you know, almost 40 years ago, when I come out of the tank, he said all things have just become new. Well, Sue looked the same. My car looked the same. I went to the same house, and on Monday morning, I went to the same place I worked on Friday, and them people looked the same. But Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he's entirely new creation. Old things have passed away. Everything's become new. Well, obviously it's not on the physical side, but you just entered into a whole new realm when you're born again. That's what the scripture's trying to tell you. You got power, buddy. You don't even realize what you've got available to you. I ain't talking about some hocus pocus. I ain't talking about miracles. Paul said that childish. Miracles are childish. Those things are only for a reason to demonstrate something of the real healing. Look, when you see people that are blind, really blind, I'm talking about, and they're beggars in third world countries, they're pretty, you know, it's rough. Who's been to the blind village? Don, what's that look like, man, seeing them poor Vietnamese people, dirt poor and blind and begging? It's frightening. Or can't walk, or they can't hear. All these deformities, all these terrible things. And here comes Jesus, right? And opening the eyes of the blind, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk, the dead were raised, the lepers were cleansed, the demons were cast. People are like, wow! He only did that on the outside because he wants you to know where this will take you on the inside. Your eyes can open and you will live forever. Your ears will open. You'll live forever. You were clean, unclean. Now you'll be cleansed. You'll live forever. Dead, you've been made alive. Jesus said, man, believe in me, he'll never die. He said, you believe this? They go, oh, now we know you're nuts. Abraham dead. The prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? Did Jesus, was he telling the truth? Man, believe in him, he never die? Yeah, he knew exactly what he was talking about. You see, our faith has got to catch up to the spiritual reality. So I said, now in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look what he says. Verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to do what? Give the light of the knowledge of what? The glory of God. Where? In the face of Jesus Christ, coming to a theater near you. You go back and read the Genesis 1:3. He just quoted Genesis 1:3. Let there be light. And God saw the light, it was good. The light he called day, the darkness he called night. It was evening, morning, day one. The sun, the moon, and the stars were not created until day four. What is the let there be light? It is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining in the heart. That's what that light is all about, is about what we've been talking about. That's the third verse of the whole Bible. It's telling you what the whole book is going to be about. But it wasn't going to be until the fullness of time. It's the fullness of time, 2,000 years ago, when Paul was writing these things, and Peter and James and John and Jesus speaking. Now watch what he says. We have this treasure, Paul said, in the earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power, life-changing power, may be of God and not of us. Then look what he says. We're hard-pressed on every side. Remember the picture of the plastic bottle? The pressure's on it, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus now can be seen in your mortal flesh. Christ in you, Paul said, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. That's the mystery, he said. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says that he would grant you now to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where? In your inner man. You can't be crushed if you have the Spirit of Christ in your inner man. That Christ now may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, you ain't going to crush that very easily. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And just so you know, this ain't some first century thing. Read the last verse where he concludes it. To him, God, be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. This is relevant right here, right now, today. That's not just some first century thing, but it has to be understood in the realm of faith, which is far greater than the physical reality that we are living in. We want to make the first things first, priority-wise. The devil will have you chasing all these things and fretting and worrying right up to here with what's happening. This poor lady, I hope you understand, she is overwhelmed in her condition. Easy. It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. Y'all want to pray? We can all pray. We can just all get down and pray right now. Do you think those rockets are going to stop because we are going to pray about that right now? You think Ivan is going to become perfectly whole because we pray? No, you missed the whole point. But she will, and she can overcome. She can. She's made for it. She's a human. But she can't, doesn't know it. She don't know. She hasn't been able to reconnect on the Zoom just yet because he's overwhelmed by running into the bomb shelter. She said, look, I understand it. But God willing, she's going to hear the rest of this information. And that can be life-changing for her, you, me, her, everyone else. That's just the whole point. God willing, next time I'm up here, I want to deal with those externals that do come. But you'll see the victory of the people that had the understanding. They could deal with that and count it all joy when they were going through it. If she could count it all joy right now, that'd be awesome, wouldn't it? What difference does it make if helicopters are flying over or bombs coming down? If you have joy. She don't have joy right now. But she can. So, Lord willing, we'll continue. Thank you for your attention this morning.